From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for October 9th, 2020. Well, there's no Packer game this weekend. It's their bye week. Because of COVID-19, England has a mandatory face mask law. Well, a man got on a bus in Manchester with a 4-foot snake wrapped around his face. So who's going to tell that dude he has to get off the bus? Uncle Javier of Lubbock, Texas is in trouble with the family. He badly wanted some ice cream, but he needed someone to drive him. So he recruited his 13-year-old niece. Of course, the cops pulled them over. When asked why she was driving, the 13-year-old very politely answered, "Uncle Javier is too drunk to drive." COVID-19 is creating election problems, not only here in America, but across the globe. The mayor of a town in Romania won re-election in a landslide. Unfortunately, he died of COVID-19 10 days before the election, and he still won. Let's just agree college kids are going to be college kids. A student in the UK needed to be rescued after getting herself stuck in a clothes dryer. The co-ed was drinking wine and tequila, really she was, when she was challenged to get into the dryer. And that's when she uttered those famous words, "Here, hold my tequila." On the podcast today, we have Kyle Tedding, Brian Kilb, Art Rothschild, Joel Dreising, and wrapping up the week, here's Bob Landis.
And Max, it was a good week. Coming back to the highs that we saw in the market early September, NASDAQ climbed a whopping 4.6% this week, tacking on 505 points, closed at 11,580. Broader markets, S&P 500, up 3.8% this week. That's a lot. Tacking on 129 points to close today at 3,477. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 904 points this week, a 3.3% advance. We close at the bell this afternoon in New York with the Dow finishing the week, 28,587. You know, Kyle, let's start with stimulus talk. You know, I thought it was just utterly amazing that the market kept climbing after the president on Tuesday said that he was cutting off negotiations for any additional stimulus, only for him to change his mind a couple days later and to say that, well, maybe he can find his way to do a compromise. The market sold off on Tuesday when he bailed from the negotiations, but on Wednesday, the market didn't even seem bothered by it. And then on Thursday, we had a nice day just really nice day today. So, you know, it seems that the market is being propelled higher, potentially by some other forces. And maybe it's just an understanding that the stimulus will eventually come down the pike. But I thought it was just really encouraging to see that when it looked less likely that stimulus spending would be approved before the end of the year, the market just kept climbing.
And Bob, it almost feels like it's the place we have to start just about every week at this point, because it is the thing that seems to be providing some springboard for the market to move higher. And so, you know, I think it's interesting that it almost feels like week to week or even day to day, sometimes we're getting different news on what the progress is. You know, you had the Democrats in the House that had passed some form of stimulus that didn't look like it was going anywhere. And now you've got, you know, the president may be back on board in some limited amounts. And so, you know, I'm encouraged because we're such a consumer-driven economy and such an important piece of the markets broadly is consumption. You need money in consumers' hands to do that. The other piece of this is that a lot of this stimulus is intended to keep jobs. It's intended to keep airline employees working for a while longer. It's intended to keep businesses broadly able to afford their employees. And so, you know, if you look at the path we're headed as an economy, you know, we lost 22 million jobs in the span of a couple of weeks back in March and April. We've only gotten a little more than half of that back so far. And so if we can keep people from losing their jobs, it's going to make it that much easier to recover when we do get to that point.
If I could just dive in here for a second, make a kind of a tangential point. Bob, you were talking about Tuesday, we were down a bit, and Wednesday we came screaming back. Well, I shared this with a number of clients, but one of the bigger financial news services we had wrote a headline that night that said the markets were rocked by the discussions of the president and the potential stimulus. And I was like, I think if I remember correctly, don't quote me, but I think the Dow was down 300 points, you know, we're at 28,000 or whatever. And then, of course, the next day we were up a bunch. And I think it's just a reminder of the dangers of reading the headlines and listening to all that noise, because it can kind of make you crazy and oftentimes has really nothing to do with the reality of the moment.
Well, Brian, a similar point. Kyle got interviewed by a local television station after the president was diagnosed with COVID, and the reporter used said that the market had plunged, and it hadn't. So you know, get these exaggerated action verbs that don't really adequately describe what's going on. Kyle, let me ask you a question about a couple of analysts that are now saying that with Mr. Biden so far ahead in the polls, the market's rallying on the belief that perhaps we're going to skip a contested election this time around.
Yeah, you know, I think the uncertainty of that contested election was one of the things that had caused markets to be a little bit lower. And again, I think we're so eager to ascribe any one particular headline to what pushes markets higher or lower. And, you know, I think that's one of the many things that's been hanging out there, is this idea that the election might pour into even 2021 before we have a definitive answer. And so if you've got enough of a lead, I think you'll have a pretty clear cut winner. The challenge, of course, is that, you know, we've heard a lot of rhetoric in particular from the president, but from both sides, that they're concerned about this election. They're concerned about the direction that we're headed in terms of, you know, whether or not we'll be able to call a winner right away. And so, you know, I think the uncertainty isn't completely resolved. The election certainly has a number of investors thinking that maybe they need to be a little bit more cautious. And we've talked, I think, at length about how maybe that caution might be misplaced right now, especially because all it's going to take is a couple of pieces of resolution, right? A couple of pieces of good news. And we saw that this week with the stimulus talks that we just hit on. You saw markets rally pretty drastically. Well, we're, you know, about a month out from the election now. If you were thinking, okay, things are going to get bad now because we're in the heat of the election season now, you know, you missed out on a really good week. And so I think encouraged by the fact that the markets have run higher, despite the fact that that uncertainty persists, also encouraged by the fact that maybe we've got a little more clarity now in the direction we're headed.
Art, I'm always bringing it back down to interest rates and earnings. The two things they've figured out that really move stock prices longer term on the interest rate side, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel with rates. The Fed said a couple of weeks ago they're not going to raise for 3 years. That's an eternity for what we do for a living. On the earnings side, we're going to get back to where we were last year, sometime next year. So I think there's some reason for some optimism. What's your take on things, Art?
I like where we are. Several months ago, I made a comment on the podcast that, and this there's another company's analyst that said the same thing. March of 2009, the stock market bottomed, okay, way back when, during the Great Recession. No one knew it was the bottom. It was devastating to have lost as much as the markets did at that point in time. Coincidentally, March of 2020, we bottomed, March 23rd. And ever since then, it seems like we've been gaining strength. And so, you know, markets tend to have moods. So when everything was selling off in March, there were people who were telling me, oh, the stock market's going to go lower. We're going to have another bottom. We never had another bottom. We've gone up dramatically. This was the biggest decline, or the fastest decline to bear market territory in history. And we've had a spectacular recovery. So I feel very good about where we are. As you mentioned, we're getting into earnings season, but this is not earnings season. This is loss season. And so if the losses come in less, you know, onerous than forecast, and if the forecasts are good, it's going to be very positive for the market. So I think this market could gain strength. We've talked about rotation. Growth stocks have led this year. They had a setback in September. They could continue to move higher, and the value stocks can kick in. And what we're waiting on, and what seems to be the news, seems to be very favorable on vaccines and treatments. So despite the fact that the numbers of people getting COVID are increasing, it seems like the seriousness is still there, but the market isn't reacting as negatively And as you guys said before, when the stimulus, we're going to get some kind of stimulus. The only question is when. The sooner we get it, the better. As you said, we're going to get stimulus, and the market knows that. And we're going to have an election. It's going to be over, and life is going to go on. And my expectation is that the stock market is going to continue to move higher. So I feel very good about where we've been, meaning we're way up from the bottom. And I feel very good about the path forward. I just don't know when we're going to get to wherever it is we think we're going to be, but I'm hoping it's a good place, knock on wood.
Just to touch on the interest rate front, Art, you know, you look at where we were the start of the summer, we saw markets start to rally a little bit. We got a little bit of encouragement from early rounds of stimulus, but interest rates continued to tumble through most of the beginning of summer, all the way up into August. And then we started a slow rise higher, still incredibly low rates, but a slow rise higher. And then you look this last week, rates jumped pretty well this week. And again, bond prices move inversely to interest rates. So as interest rates rise, the price of your bonds this week went down a little bit. And that's exactly what we would expect to happen in a week that was as good for stocks as what it was. And so that's, I think, one more encouraging sign that the relationship between stocks and bonds is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Again, that if there are signs that the stock market is encouraged about the economy, that should also mean that rates are allowed to move a little bit higher. That should also mean that bond prices move a little bit lower. And so if we can keep that relationship intact for a while, yeah, you're going to give back a little bit of those really strong gains you've gotten on your bond funds this year, but it also means hopefully that your stocks are rising some more as well.
Brian, it's been a wonderful year for bonds. And we finally saw a recovery in the municipal market. You know, a lot of really good quality municipal bond funds, particularly the national municipal funds. It was ugly in March, down 4 or 5%. So the stimulus spending helped to a certain extent state and local governments. And they're apparently earmarking some of the new stimulus money for state and local governments. So I'm really encouraged to see how the tax exempt municipal bond market has come back. Got a ways to go to catch up to the wonderful rally in corporates this year. But it's encouraging nevertheless to see municipals come back.
Yeah, I think the whole bond market, you have to go back and give some credit to the Fed, you know, and you have as much fear in the markets as we had in March. You're always worried about kind of a run on the bank, you know, a credit event. And I think the Fed stepped in and provided so much liquidity so fast that they kind of took that off the table and settled things. And you saw corporates rally, you saw municipals rally. I think in the time since, you know, you've been kind of trying to kind of figure out who's going to have sustaining long-term damage and who's going to get through it. And that relates to corporate balance sheets as well as it relates to the fiscal health of municipalities. And I think I think in terms of where the economy's been since then and what the stock market's telling you is that things are much better than you probably feared they would be. I mean, I think there's still some concern about how quickly we'll get back to where we were. But what that does, I think, is give a lot of stability to the bond market, you know, and I don't think there's nearly as much talk about municipalities and their problems or nearly as much talk on the corporate world about impending delinquencies and defaults and things of that nature. So I think that steadiness has allowed the market to return to some normal. You've gotten even a low interest rate environment, but you still got the safety of that. And after all, that's what our bonds are for in our portfolios, are to take the risk out and to give you some stability while the rest of your portfolio that is more aggressively positioned perhaps has some room to deal with the volatility of the time.
Brian, I was struck by the comment you made about how things are maybe a little bit better than what we had expected. The Fed earmarked $500 billion in a municipal lending facility. So essentially, a place of last resort for municipalities to go to get funding, to get money directly from the Fed when they couldn't go to the markets to get it. That lending facility has only been used twice since it was created with the CARES Act in April. And so I think what we've seen is that, you know, we learned in the financial crisis, we need a substantial and immediate response to these kinds of threats. The Fed provided that substantial and immediate response. And the reality is we haven't had to rely on it as much as what we thought we might have to. And so I'm encouraged that municipals broadly have recovered some of the early pain of this year. I'm encouraged that broadly municipal finances look better than what we would have expected at this point in time. And then the markets have rewarded that by allowing municipalities to continue to borrow in the traditional methods that they would.
Go ahead, Arthur.
Well, just one quick comment on that. If taxes are going to rise next year, depending on who gets elected or thereafter for people in very high income brackets, tax brackets, that's another positive, supporting higher prices for municipal bonds. So I think it's a good time to be holding and probably buying, and it's just those higher taxes.
And one last point, but I think it also, the thing you forget about sometimes about the muni market is it's just a different market and it provides an alternative place in your portfolio to get some bond coverage and to get whatever risk you might have to credit, to get a very different kind of credit risk. And anytime you can take your portfolio and take risk and divide it into separate categories, it always provides some downside protection to you in the long run.
Joel, let's bring you into the show. First time claims for unemployment came out yesterday above what analysts were thinking of, and it continues a string of worrisome reports from the Labor Department on first-time claims.
That's right, Bob. You pointed out last week that, the labor numbers are really important to watch as far as what's happening with the economy and those unemployment claims. We get them every week. We tend to look at them as a four-week moving average, which makes them less volatile than what they are week to week. But, they were like 857,000 for the latest week. That's, down from 5.8 million back in April. But it's before the pandemic, the record, going back to 1967, the record was under 700,000. So we're still really elevated. And don't forget that in February, we had a 50-year low of 208,000 claims for that moving average. So another number out of that from the Labor Department shows that 25.5 million Americans were receiving unemployment benefits of one kind or another. Those other numbers were just first-time claims, so fresh applications for unemployment insurance. 25 million Americans were receiving unemployment insurance benefits, and that compared to 1.4 million just the year before. So that's still something that that needs to be addressed. You talked before about the stimulus. We know that a lot of people losing money between when the stimulus expired at the end of July, and now that there's talk of maybe not doing any more stimulus from Congress until after the election, people are hurting, and that shows up. Going back to what Kyle said before, as far as consumer spending, we've seen that consumer spending is actually going down. We had numbers this week from the Fed looking at credit card debt. That's a really telling sign of the confidence that consumers have in spending. That's been going down for 6 months in a row. And in August, that's the latest numbers we have, it went down steeper. And that was, again, after those stimulus checks.
They should have called me up. I could have saved them some time talking to clients all day long, Monday through Friday, just about to a person. They're telling me, hey, Bob, we're not spending money like we used to. We don't go out to eat. We don't entertain like we used to. We're not jumping on airplanes. We're not staying in nice hotels. We're just not spending money like we did. And I think that in a very short phrase, that's why the economy is still soft. People aren't traveling. They're not spending money like they used to. And it applies to the vast majority of my clients are repeatedly telling me that they're not spending like they used to. And that explains, I think, in a fairly simple way, why the economy is soft now. People are afraid to go out.
Consumer, the consumer credit outstanding right now is as low as it's been since June of 2017. So we've, gone in the Wayback Machine. We're back 3 years.
A comment on statements. September was not a good month. When you get those statements, don't overreact to that. We've made it back, now. And I think it's a great time to be invested, for the long haul.
Brian, what about you?
Well, I was just going to tie a thought to your discussion of the election before. I was thinking back to Y2K and how we fretted for so long about whether our computers would work on the morning of January 1st when the century flipped. and how much of a non-event it was. And I think it's oftentimes the things we aren't worried about that cause us problems. You know, with all the talk about this stuff, you can be sure that people are going to do their best to get it right. And I would hope that people would have confidence in the system and the way we do things around here to go out and vote and take care of their business, you know?
Kyle, what about you?
You know, just as we begin to enter earnings season, as Art mentioned earlier, the news is going to look, at least the reports are going to look a lot worse than the news we've been hearing for a while. And so, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that stocks come down, because we've built in our expectations for that as we looked 3 months ago, 6 months ago, at what the expectation was for third quarter. And so, you know, I'm more interested in what we hear about how businesses are navigating the pandemic environment, what their plans are for 2021 and beyond. And I think that's when we'll really start to be able to lock in on kind of earnings forecasts for next year. And so that's more than anything what I'm dialing into right now, is just trying to understand, you know, are we really accurate in the way that we're forecasting what next year looks like? And if we are, I'm really happy about the direction that we're headed. I'm really happy about where stocks are right now. And if not, then we can adjust accordingly. But that has nothing to do with the election. It has nothing to do with where we are today, and everything to do with the expectations for what comes next.
Thank you, Kyle. And thank you, everybody, for listening. This is the end of yet another Money Talk. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.